Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Easter morning is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women went to the tomb carrying the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. When they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothing. The women were terrified and bowed down with their faces to the ground. The men said to them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here, but has been raised. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. When they returned from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Yet these words seemed to them like nonsense, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over to look in, he saw only the strips of linen cloth. He went home, amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of our Lord. Dear people of God, you know by now how much I love and respect those wonderful, faithful women who followed Jesus from Galilee and took care of his earthly needs. They were so devoted to him, and their devotion pays off today on Easter, for they got to see the risen Lord first. But even the ladies messed up on this day. For the ladies came out to the grave on the third day with spices in order to bury Jesus better. That's a mistake. And they admitted that it was a mistake. After the angels quoted Jesus back to them, they realized their mistake. They remembered his words. But they should have remembered earlier. That would have made them act differently. That would have made them act in faith. But instead, they acted by bringing spices out to bury Jesus. They were looking for his dead body when what they found was a rolled away stone. Now they admit in Mark's gospel that they had forgotten all about the stone, even though they were there to see Joseph seal up the grave with this stone. But they come out to the grave while it's still dark, John tells us, maybe in a fog, a bit of a mist, and they stumble upon this stone that shouldn't be there. What has happened? What's going on? As they go farther, they stumble into the open tomb. And instead of the body that they expect to find, they find two angels. And it says that the women were perplexed. But by the way they talk, I think it's the angels who are more perplexed. For they ask the women a question that I don't think is rhetorical. They really want to know, why are you looking for Jesus out here in a cemetery? Don't you remember he said he would rise from the dead? He told you so. How many times don't we forget, even though we're told, no practice today, and yet people show up for practice? The post office is closed on President's Day, and yet we're there trying to open the door. The Lord knows what he's doing, and he's guiding and directing all things for your benefit, and yet we question him every day. The Lord Jesus died and paid for all of your sins, and yet we are racked with guilt. Well, don't you listen? Don't you believe what he said? Don't you remember what he did for you? How the angels must be disgusted with us. The Lord has done everything for us sinful human beings. He did not suffer and die for the angels. They are judged. They are fixed. They get no more chances to believe and be saved, those fallen angels. But you people, sinful human beings, you are given a lifetime. You are given a time of grace to find out about Jesus, what he did for you, that he died and rose for you, and to be saved. But how many do? How many take advantage of this unbounded mercy of our God who gives us this opportunity? Then there's the disciples. Another group who messed up on that first Easter morning. As much as the women should have known what Jesus was doing, the disciples should have known all the more so. For Jesus taught them directly. They were the ones in the upper room when Jesus was preparing them for his going away, his suffering, crucifixion, and resurrection. Jesus had told them in no uncertain terms back in Luke 18, "Look, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. Indeed, he will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, mistreat him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." How much more direct can you be? And now, on the third day from his crucifixion, reports are coming in. Jesus is risen. The women come and tell them all these things. Yet their words seemed to them like nonsense, and they did not believe them. The disciples are not supposed to be unbelievers. The disciples are supposed to be the ones who are spreading the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection. And then there's Peter. Dear, enthusiastic, bombastic, take the bulls by the horn, Peter, who once again does not disappoint us, but just acts without knowing what he's doing. Peter runs out to the tomb with John. He gets there, he sees the strips of linen with no body, and then he goes home. He's amazed and perplexed. How can he not know these things? Remember, unbelief is never logical. You can't reason anyone into believing in Jesus. Everything in our world was made by God. Every little thing that we have is made by someone, from your cell phone to your house to the planets. All that stuff was made by someone. And our God made us. But our God also sent us a Savior, his own Son, Jesus Christ, who lived perfectly in our place, and then who died in payment for all of our sins. That Savior then rose from the dead on the third day to prove that he did what he said he would do, after predicting all of it. For the disciples not to believe that Jesus was risen just shows the state of man. That we are stubborn, that we don't listen, that we are unsavable. And yet, our God has sent us a Savior. Now, what's our reaction to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead today? Well, by God's grace and by the Spirit's work in us, we receive the reports of the resurrection with joy and with action. Like the angels, we remember what Jesus said, for we just spent all of Lent reviewing it. Like the women, we have come searching for our Savior in the place where we think he should be, today, here in his house, in his word. And like the disciples, we have reports of his resurrection from four different sources, the four Gospels. Jesus did what he said he would do. He suffered for our sins. He died in payment for our souls. And he rose from the dead on the third day for our justification. The Father has declared that we are not guilty of our sins because of his Son's death, blood, and righteousness. Today is the best day in the Christian year. It's better than Christmas. It's better than Epiphany. It's way better than Ash Wednesday. For today is the day of our Savior's resurrection. Jesus is risen. Alleluia. So now, act. Spread this message of the resurrection to the world, beginning with your family, your friends, your neighbors. Yes, you can spread it to the world by means of our offerings that are given to the Synod for our missions, but just as good and just as important is from your lips, from your heart, for your Savior, the Savior of your soul, died and rose all for you. Let your joy and your peace and your salvation be seen and heard from you. Amen and amen. Alleluia. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.